Yeah, yes, I will. See, did you hear, as Chris was leading us, did you hear, I choose to pray? So it is a kind of sometimes a foreign concept to us that joy is a choice. It is not something we are not living under the circumstances, but because of Jesus, we can live above and beyond the circumstances. And so joy is a choice, but there, you know, there are times where that bucket leaks and our joy seeps out. But before we dive into the message, I'm going to bring my friends on the screen, Carolyn, Ben, and Charlie. The Mentimeter question was, what is one of the your favorite ways to fill your joy bucket? What is one of the favorite ways to fill your joy bucket? And says, okay, so I can't read that. I have glasses and I can't read that. What does that
say? Family and Friends is the one in red, and okay, the music is blue.
Okay, so you really like that the music is kind of creeping up there, huh, Ben?
Right.
Okay, Family and Friends. All right. So anything, and this is pretty, I would imagine, pretty standard. Anything, number one, surprising about this list? And then what is one of the ways you love to fill your joy bucket, Carolyn, Charlie, and Ben?
I'm totally with the Family and Friends people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I love time with family and friends. I've gotten myself in trouble. Like if it's, well, especially if I forget to get a decaf coffee at Big B and have it in the evening, plus the friends, I never go to sleep that night.
Yeah. No, for me, it's I'll combine one that's not on the list: music and driving.
Okay, Charlie, why are you messing up the
okay,
list?
Okay, fine.
You
I'll can't just do music.
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Music and driving. Go ahead.
Music and driving, man. On those summer nights when you're just like when you just go for a drive out in the country, especially, man. I love country views, but just going out for a drive, putting on music, whatever it may be, whether it's worship or my favorite thing is musicals. Just putting on music and just driving is one of my absolute favorite things to do.
Cool. That's definitely a way to fill your joy bucket. What about you, Ben?
I'll combine two that are on the list.
Okay, thank you. Music. Thank you for following the rules.
But making music with family and friends, I mean, I think is probably, you know, just as we just did with Yes, I Will, right? To be able to offer, to choose to praise, that road gets a lot easier when you're doing it with people that are choosing the same thing with you to do that. So I think music, yes, time with family and friends. But man, if you can combine the two, then that's that really fills my bucket.
All right, since everybody's breaking the rules, well, Carolyn, you followed the rules.
Thank you.
So since Ben and Charlie broke the rules, I'm going to combine three. So
whoa.
I'm
going to.
Oh, that's the one-upmanship right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So you got family and friends, music, and then food and drink. So you can, if you have all three of those, you are. That's my jam right there. I mean, you come to go to family reunions, you have all three, family and friends, you have music, and you have good food. And when you have that, that really does fill my joy bucket. And so for those of you who are, you've already answered, but if there's another way, I'm giving you permission to break the rules. If there's another way, drop it in the chat, drop it in the comment section. Other ways, favorite ways you fill your joy bucket. Thank you all. Thank you all so much, Ben and Carolyn and Charlie. You know, it's interesting. When we fill our joy buckets with all of those things, I think that's cool. But there are times where we find our joy buckets leaking. I know I do. And I would imagine you as well. Over the last 12 weeks, you probably have found your joy bucket leaking because of this global pandemic. I would imagine in the last 3 weeks, you found your joy bucket leaking because of the racial tension in our country. And it's left you confused, not joyful. It's left you sad, not joyful. It's left you kind of confused and not at peace. It's kind of left you wondering, like, is there a way to even maintain my joy in the midst of sorrow. Or maybe you are going through a difficult time as a married couple or a single person, and you're saying, like, man, I fill it up and it feels like my bucket has sprung a leak literally in every section of the bucket. And the more I put in, it feels like it, the more it leaks. And that is true of a lot of people right now, that the bucket, and you say, well, maybe if I just got a bigger bucket and a bigger reservoir, then I can fill it with more stuff, more things, more music, more family and friends, more food, more drink, and somehow I'll maintain it that way. The reality is that our buckets leak, and we look for ways to maintain the joy that that God gives us. And so that's what we want to kind of dive into today. We want to talk about what does it look like to maintain our joy? And it might be a little bit different than you anticipate. And some of these answers may seem, what we're going to share may seem like, man, this is super, super spiritual. And I don't necessarily mean it to be that way, but this is the reality of what we see in the text. And when we anchor ourselves to what we'll share today, then we'll see that that God is the one who maintains the joy in our lives. And so if you have a copy of the scriptures on your device, or you have a physical copy of the Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Again, we've been walking through this book, trying to mine out things that will help us to have an unshakable faith in a world that feels like it's very, very shakable and unstable. And so Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. And here's what I believe. Here's the large thought for today. Every follower of Jesus can consistently unlock, the treasure chest of joy by turning three keys found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Every follower, if you are a follower of Jesus, I believe you and I can consistently unlock the treasure chest of joy. God gives us a treasure chest of joy, but we need to turn the keys to unlock that treasure chest. And the first key that I believe that God gives us in Philippians, or Paul gives us in Philippians, to consistently unlock the treasure chest, is to remember who and what is the source of joy. Remember who and what is the source of joy. Now, we talked about this before, but we're going to talk about it again. Here's the very first verse. It says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." He's talking about to all believers. Finally, he is actually moving to the end of the end of his letter to the Philippians. He's gone through first chapters 1 and 2, and he is now moving to the end of the chapter. Even though there are 4 chapters, he is giving us kind of the runway to end the book. And so in chapter 3, he starts the ending of it. He says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." So he's already talked about joy in the first part of the book. Now he comes back and he says it again. And this is so key to living a life of joy, is that sometimes we forget. Sometimes there are leaks in the bucket, and we need to be reminded that joy is something that we can maintain. Joy is something that we can have. Joy is a choice that God gives us. And so this is kind of interesting, because remember, Paul is in prison. He is suffering. The Philippians are also suffering persecution because of their faith in Jesus. And so Paul says, remember, you can be joyful. He says, rejoice. This word rejoice is to rejoy, is to refill yourselves with joy. Not, yes, we can use family and friends and music and food and drink and other sources. That's fine. but we're just scratching the surface there. He says, I want you to go deeper. And notice he says, rejoice in the Lord. He didn't say rejoice in food and drink. He didn't say rejoice in music. All those things are great. And I love those things. But he says, I want you to look at the locus or the location of joy, and it's in the Lord. So here are a couple of things. So joy is not merely human happiness. We talked about this before. Happiness is based on happenings, but joy is based on something deeper than that. Something deeper than that. So it is in the Lord. That means it is outside of ourselves. Again, it's outside of ourselves. So it happens in the locus of our relationship with Jesus. Now, again, remember, this is a command. He says, rejoice. The verb here is a command. Rejoice in the Lord. So therefore, it is something that we can do, not humanly speaking, but in the power of the Spirit of God. Now, here are a couple of warnings or dangers if we say this is a command. The first danger is this, is that we can try to manipulate our emotions through food and drink and drugs and alcohol and relationships. So we say, man, I don't feel joyful, so I'm going to try to manipulate my emotions to work myself up to be joyful with those external kinds of things. Now, again, joy is an internal work as opposed to an external work. Here's a second danger that I think we have to be careful of is trying to produce a state of joy by managing an image. So I'm feeling sad, but I'm going to look joyful. I'm feeling confused, but I'm going to put on a really, really nice smile so everyone can think that I'm joyful. No, remember, it is a internal work. And just because we are sad things happen or bad things happen or adverse things happen doesn't mean that those bad things and that adversity steals our joy. Again, we are talking about something that happens on the inside, and it is a rejoicing in the Lord. So when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, what in the world is he talking about? Well, number one, he is talking about when I remember who and what is the source of joy, he says, I want you to remember your position in Jesus. I want you to remember your identity in Jesus and how you got your identity. So what Paul is talking about here, rejoice in the Lord, he is saying, I want you to begin rehearsing the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus. You see, friends, we had every reason to be sad. We had every reason not to be joyful because we were sinners separated from God. We were sinners separated from a holy God. And God says, I want to produce joy in you that goes beyond circumstances. So he sent his son Jesus into the world, and Jesus died. And when Jesus died, they placed him in a grave. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And so he says, everyone who places their trust in Jesus, surrenders their lives to Jesus, that God will do something on the inside of our hearts, and that is produce joy. See, I was far from God. I was at 13 years old. I received Jesus as my Savior. I can't explain it, but there was something that happened. The moment I surrendered my life to Jesus, I recognized I had a relationship with the living God. I found myself smiling, and there was nothing to smile about. I found myself singing at 13 years old, and I didn't know why I was singing. I found myself kind of just like wow, the world was different. Even on a cloudy day, it felt sunny. I could not explain it other than that God had taken me from death to life. He had taken me from an enemy of God, an enemy of his, to now a friend of his. I was blind, but now I saw. Like at 13 years old, he took me from someone who was on his way to hell to someone who was now safe in the arms of a loving father. My friends, I can't explain it, but I had joy. And I would imagine all over this city, all over the country, and all over the world, those of you who are listening now, you probably felt the same way, that somehow the world looked different to you when you surrendered your life to Jesus. And God says, Paul says here, the way you maintain your joy is to consistently remember, consistently go back to the cross. We just celebrated communion. That is a reminder that we were lost and he found us. It's a reminder that we have new life. It's a reminder that we can actually live this life that Jesus died for. My friend, that's one of the ways we maintain our joy, by remembering what Jesus did for us. But I think a second thing to help us to remember and maintain is to remember that rejoicing in the Lord meant that to remember that God was in control. To remember that God was in control. That here's a big word, that God is sovereign. That just simply means that he is in control, and that even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of confusion, even in the midst of pain and suffering, that in that suffering and pain and adversity is God's grace disguised. That somehow God works in the midst of that. Even in the deepest pit, we find God there. Now, my friends, I can't explain it. You, whatever pit you're in right now, in the deepest pit, God is there. The saddest moment, God is there. You know why? Because of this long, big word called the incarnation. That just simply means God put on human flesh and he felt the suffering that we feel. God is not invulnerable to suffering. Why? Because he suffered through Jesus. So he knows your tears. He knows how bitter they are. He knows about the miscarriage. He knows about the divorce. He knows about the loss of a job. He knows about the loss of your mother, your father. He knows the pain. Our God is not invulnerable to pain and suffering and adversity. Why? Because he wrapped himself in human flesh and he suffered with us. We have a high priest that feels what we feel. And when we are losing our joy, when our bucket springs a leak, we have to remember who and what is the source of joy. And that is Jesus's death and resurrection, to remember that God is in control. In 1982, hope this can help. In 1982, some of you might remember this. I was just graduating high school. In 1982, the Spartans were playing the Wisconsin Badgers in Wisconsin. And it didn't take long to know who the better team was. Go green, go white. The Spartans were pummeling the Wisconsin Badgers. And the score was lopsided. But something very curious started happening when the score was even more lopsided. The Badger fans were cheering like outbursts of joy and cheer. And it was like, wait a minute, your team is losing. How can you cheer in such a time like this? little did we know that many of the fans in the stadium had portable transistor portable radios. That, again, that takes us way back, right? 1982. Portable radios, and 70 miles away, the Milwaukee Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in the third game of the World Series. So here it is. Here it is. They were not responding to the present circumstances. They were responding to a victory unseen. And this is the same way it is for every follower of Jesus. We don't respond to our present circumstances. We respond to a victory unseen, that Jesus has won the victory, not only won the victory. One day, he will ultimately win the victory. And so that is what gives us joy right now, that Jesus defeated death and hell and the grave, and one day he will defeat sin, and we will know for certain, for sure, that yes, our victory is sure, because we will spend the rest of eternity with him. We respond to the unseen victory, not with what we see. So we got to remind ourselves who and what is the source of joy. The second key is identify and expose joy stealers and joy killers. So here is the verses 2-6. Look out for the dogs. Who let those dogs out anyway, right? Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as of the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Now, what does all this mean? What does all this mean? I'm going to try to give it to you in kind of these bite-sized chunks. And so the second key is that we have to identify and expose joy stealers and joy killers. Now, Paul says, again, he says, watch out for those dogs. This metaphor is full of bite. That's a dad joke, right? That's a dad joke. Father's Day is coming up. I got to get a dad, kind of this precursor to dad jokes. Ben Diaz is the king of dad jokes, all right? So don't tell him I said that. He's not even listening, so don't tell him I said that, all right? So when Paul talks about dogs, he is actually talking about a group of people in the Philippian church called Judaizers. And Judaizers were Jewish people who were Christians, but they were telling unbelievers that in order to become believers, in order to become saved, so kind of a theological word, in order to become right with God, they needed Jesus and a little bit of Jewish law. They needed Jesus and a little bit of Jewish ritual. They needed Jesus plus all of the Jewish laws. And once you had the Jewish law down, and once you were circumcised and you trusted Jesus, now you could enter into heaven or the in rightness with God. So it was a little Jesus. It was Jesus plus a little something else. It was Jesus and a little something else. And Paul says, wait a minute. When I taught you it was Jesus plus nothing. It was Jesus and his life and death and resurrection plus nothing else. It was Jesus and that's it. It was faith alone in Jesus through grace. It was not Jesus and church attendance. It was not Jesus and Bible reading. It was not Jesus and charity. It was not Jesus and doing good works. It was Jesus and his death and his resurrection alone. And if you want if you want something to steal and kill your joy, here it is. Here it is. It is Jesus plus something else. It is Jesus plus something else. Why? Because here it is. You never know when you have done enough to be right with God. And now you're wondering, when I die and go to heaven, will God not let me into heaven because I didn't go to church enough, because I didn't read the Bible enough, because I didn't do all of these other things? If you want something to steal and kill your joy, focus on a lot of rituals and rules and not focus on Jesus. My friends, it is man, this is so exciting to me because it is Jesus and Jesus alone. It is grace through faith in him. Somebody needs to hear that today. Because you've been trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You've been trying you got a balance or these, and you've been putting a lot of good stuff over here. And it's like, whoa, I know that God will definitely be excited about that because I have this, all of this over here, and it is balancing these weights. And now it's like, whoa, yes, I should be okay with God. Here it is, my friends. You can do all of that, and if you don't have Jesus, it's not good enough. Paul says these Judaizers were trying to kill and steal the Philippians' joy by saying that they were not saved because they didn't do all of these other things. And so what I want you to do, my friends, I want you to focus on Jesus and Jesus alone. And Paul says one of the ways we expose joy killers and joy stealers, it's in the passage. I'm just going to give them to you very quickly, is number one, worship by the Spirit. Worship through being directed by the Spirit of God, not by rules and regulations, not by all of these things. Now, we have to, we want to obey the Bible, but we're not obeying the Bible to be right with God. God says what Jesus did, he actually created a new inside for us, a new value system that operates off the power and prompting of the Spirit of God and not by rules and regulations. The second thing is boast about Jesus alone. Paul says, hey, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I've done all of these things. Paul says, no, wait a minute. Even though I did all of those things, I will boast in Jesus alone. Why? Because he has done the work. If it was me and it was me, all of my work getting me into heaven, then I could boast. Paul says, I have nothing to boast about. I have no righteousness. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. So I will boast in Jesus and be humble in his presence. And I will not put any confidence in the flesh. I'll put confidence in the Spirit of God. So that's the second thing. Identify and expose joy killers in your life. So we can do that as well. Who are the people? What are the things that's trying to sift you and siphon the joy out of your life? And I can almost guarantee you, for when you look at those people and look at those things, they are trying to kill Jesus in your life because he is the one who is a source of joy. Here's the last one. Cherish Jesus more than anything. Cherish Jesus more than anything. And here's what Paul says. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss or rubbish, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith,
that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I might attain to the resurrection, attain the resurrection from the dead. So the third key is cherish Jesus more than anything. How do we do that? Man, get to know Jesus better. Have a greater intimacy and a knowledge of Jesus. I would start with the Gospels. One of the best places you can get to know Jesus is just simply read through the Gospels. I would take the next 30 days and just simply read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We get such a robust picture of who Jesus is and how he handled certain situations. Get to know him. Get to know him through reading God's word. Not only that, get to know him through developing a more robust prayer life. Is that we get to know him. So when I've read through the Gospels, when I've read through the Gospels, I see his compassion, and it holds up a mirror to me that I need to be more compassionate. When I read through the Gospels, I see the forgiveness of Jesus, and it holds up a mirror that I need to be more forgiving. When I read through the Gospels, I see how he handled religious people and how he handled those who were far from God, and helps me to know how to handle those religious and prideful people and how to go after and pursue those people who are far from God. When I read through the Gospels, I see Jesus's prayer life and how intimate he was with the Father. And it holds up a mirror to me to say, man, that's something that I need to go after. So my encouragement to you is get to know Jesus better. A second way to get to know Jesus better is, so we talked about this last week, to appropriate, or we talked about this 2 weeks ago, is to appropriate the resurrection power of Jesus in our lives. When we do that, what ends up happening is that Jesus allows us to live above the circumstances, not below them. And then we get to know, man, that Jesus is right there with me in the darkest pit. But if I never call on him, and if I never appropriate that power to walk through pain and suffering and adversity, I'll never know him in deeper ways. I think sometimes God allows us to go through the deepest pits in our lives so that we might get to know him better. And so the third is be willing to enter into the suffering of Jesus. So I know this sounds really, really religious and that sort of thing, but man, I think God allows us to go through that so we might, Paul calls it the fellowship of his sufferings. And that's a close bond. Like when I've gone through pain, when my friends have gone through pain with me and they've walked through pain with me and they've walked through adversity with me, I have grown closer to my friends and my friends have grown closer to me. But if I go through suffering and pain all alone and I kind of leave God out of it, man, I'm missing opportunities to get to know him better and for him to invite me to enter into the fellowship of suffering. It is in those moments of suffering is where God shows that his grace is disguised. So how do we maintain our joy when the bucket is leaking? Is remember who and what is the source of joy. And that is Jesus, his death and his resurrection, and God's sovereignty. God is in control. Identify and expose joy stealers and killers and anyone who goes after Jesus in your life, anyone who tries to say it is Jesus plus something else, then those are the ones who are killing and stealing the joy, because our joy came by not rules and regulation, but it came through a relationship with Jesus through grace by faith. And then get to know Jesus. get to know Jesus even more. Cherish him more than anything, more than your car, more than your career, more than your house, more than your music, more than family and friends, more than a Taylor Swift concert, D-Max, more than anything. Cherish Jesus more than anything. And when you do, he will help you maintain your joy. Even in the midst of a COVID pandemic, even in the midst of racial tension, even in the midst of cancer, even in the midst of pain, our God will help us maintain our joy in the midst of adversity. So what I want you to do now, we're going to worship a little bit. And I want you to take one of those points, one of those keys, and say, man, which one do I need to turn a little bit more? And I want you to journal a little bit as the worship team leads us. I want you to think about, maybe even get on your knees now and pray, say, God, this is one of the keys I need to turn more often. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to do that now as the worship team leads us.